Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum, take it from Spoon, and lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey everyone, this is the Most Reverend Father Spoon. Welcome to Should I Drink That? Where even if it's crap, I guess I'm the one drinking it, so you don't have to. You're going to notice something different kind of going on right now. It's just me. Yep, it's just me. Exciting, huh? No. There are some changes coming around. Not really sure how to explain it to you yet, so we're gonna see how this thing goes. It's for the best, I guess, is the best way to put it, without beating around the bush. So I'm going to start with, let's see here. I've got three beers tonight. I'm sorry, a little disorganized. this is actually a last-minute decision. To do this tonight. Like I said, we haven't done a show in a while. The last show that we had out, episode 102, was from this really great event down at the Church Brew Works, part of the Brooklyn MASH series, where it was myself and Scott Smith was there. Matt Gallins was there from, Scott Smith from East End Brewing, Matt Gallins from Hop Farm, Sean Casey from Church Brew Works, and Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery, and myself, talking about beer. It was a really good time, and at the time, trying to figure out what we're going to do with Should I Drink That? And I will tell you at the end of the show, so you're going to have to hold on for a little bit. Or you can fast forward to the end, but this should really, do you want to miss out on the beer? I don't think so. If you're watching the video, you're going to notice it's a little bright in here. I have some extra lights in here I want to play around with. And I'm not wearing glasses, so I'm almost blind. Let's get to the first beer, shall we? Okay, so the first one, that I actually picked this up tonight by chance. And it is the Guinness Blonde American Lager. Now see, here's the thing with this. And you might be thinking, what? Guinness makes a blonde American Lager? Well, guess where it's made? It's made in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, the former home of Rolling Rock. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's made where Rolling Rock was. And, not too many good beers come out of the brewery that it's at right now. Scratch that. You're not going to find too many craft beers coming out of it, and the beers that do come out of there, well, yeah. We'll go with that. They're not my particular favorites. I believe Duquesne's made there. You know what I think about that. And a few others. Probably Stony. And I don't even remember what's made there anymore, honestly. So we're going to give this a shot. The Blonde American Lager. I have hopes for it because it is Guinness. And the only Guinness glass I could find was my big old Guinness glass. It's 5% alcohol. Let's give this a shot. I have to test this first, right? Okay, good. It's not a twist off. I was getting worried. That's all that usually comes out of that brewery that they make this at, is twist offs. Ooh, looks pretty nice. Filled up pretty quick. So according to the Guinness website,
The Guinness Blonde is the first fusion beer in the new Guinness Discovery series, combining the best European brewing techniques with the finest American hops in a collaboration between Guinness Master Brewers in Dublin and their U.S. Master Brewer counterparts at the famous Latrobe Brewery in Pennsylvania. The result is a crisp, light, but flavorful beer, characteristics of 1930s American pale lager style, with just a little more hops and citrus characteristics, and a unique biscuit malt that begs to be experienced. 21 IBUs.
So, see how this one settles in. Wow, that is... It's more... Show this to you guys at home. That actually looks very copper. This, wow. It's actually very beautiful. It's clear. But damn, that is a beautiful looking beer. Throw that in there. All right. For stuff on the news. Slight sweetness to it. Getting more biscuity than anything. Wow. Give it a shot. It's not bad. Damn. Well, there's a better there. All right, now it's getting a little dry. Not too sure. It's a good beer. Actually, it tastes like a homebrew, to be honest with you. You've drank homebrew beers before, usually like a light lager or actually an English ale. That's kind of like what this tastes like. It's not bad. I definitely got to give them credit. It's not as bad as I was expecting, and I didn't want to lead on that I was expecting like total chaos and disarray from coming from Guinness, but I like the bitterness on the end. That's nice. That's really nice. Ooh. Yeah, I think I'm starting to dig this one. It's not lawnmower beer, but it's probably the beer you're going to drink after you get done raking all the leaves because it's fall. And that's what we do here in Western Pennsylvania. There's a lot of stuff going on with the changing of the seasons. And also with the changing of the seasons comes a very fun time of year for us here in Pittsburgh. It is now time for Pie Camp Pittsburgh. That's right, back for the 9th edition, November 22nd and 23rd, 2014. Pie Camp 9 will be taking place down at Point Park University, downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's going to be in one location this year. Last few years, I believe it was kind of spread out. I was only ever in one building. But this is a great conference it's an unconference. What an unconference is when you go to these events, you can kind of move around from room to room, which is really cool because if you're in a session and you really don't like it, you can get up and walk out and nobody cares. It's actually pretty cool. But the dates were just announced, and also you could go onto the website and start filling out for what sessions you want to host. Anything social media related would be great. Audio, video, podcasting. What else could you do? You could pretty much do anything. What if I could do a beer one? I probably could do a beer one. If I can make it geeked out, I could do a beer one. In fact, Should I Drink That has been on the list a few times as speakers. And when we have, it's been very interactive because we've been with the Whistling Mayhem guys. And I get hit a lot with something hard. I don't think I'm going to be doing it this year. Well, I might be. We'll see. But it is a very cool event. It's a great way to network in Pittsburgh. And also, what I really dig about it, too, is it's free. It's free. So you get to go and get a brain dump of information. And it's free. Now, you can get the VIP ticket, which I encourage you to do, for $25. That gives you, like, a swag bag, and we'll give you some high fives. I'll give you a high five. I'm actually one of the organizers this year. And I will give you a couple high fives, and if you want, I'll give you a hug, too, so you can kind of keep me to that. Definitely check out podcamppittsburgh.com. And why don't you come to Pittsburgh? You know, see what we have going on. You might like it. There's usually a pre-party on Friday nights, which is set in stone, and we will be announcing shortly. And then also there is an after-party Saturday night, which is usually where things get crazy. One year, I have a picture of myself standing next to a Larry Bird impersonator. Yeah. Larry Bird. Basketball guy. I was more impressed than I knew who he was since I don't watch basketball. So I grew up in the 80s, so I guess I would. It's a good time, though. It's I think everybody would love coming down to Pittsburgh to check it out. You can see all the great things we have going on. And if you need beer advice, I'm the guy to talk to. I will let you know what to check out. There's actually a beer event, a very big beer event going on that day, on Saturday. Could be in the evening. I'm still waiting to get times. But there's an event that will be very, very cool that I might have to bust out of PodCamp to go to. We'll see, because it's beer-related. You know, as this warms up a little bit, it's a decent beer. I mean, I understand that people want to bash it because people are just being negative these days, and they're just looking for a reason to be pissed off. But overall, it's a good beer. When I get on Untappd later, I'll probably give it like about a 3.5, probably 4. It's actually not that bad. Label doesn't have too much information on it. Like I said, I just bought this before I came on, so I haven't even had a chance to really read this thing yet. But no, it's a solid beer. It's good. I like this. I'd take this to a tailgate any day. Depending on what they charge for it. I paid $3, I think, for this. Done at McNeely Beer in South Hills. Go check them out. If it's cheaper than that, they can correct me. Cool. Now, I know somewhere Sick Puppy's ears are tingling because of the fact that I'm drinking this. Or he's stuck in the woods somewhere, which you'll find out more about later also. Not a bad beer. Yeah, I mean, it's a lager. You can't have too many high expectations for a lager, seriously. And if there is a really kick-ass lager out there, please let me know. I would love to try it because here in the state of Pennsylvania, we have Yingling. So for many, many years, that's what I knew a lager was Yingling. I don't drink Yingling anymore. Well, I do once in a while. We'll see. Well, I dig this. This is, I'll have to put it up there. In honor of Sick Puppy, I was expecting to chug this, but not too bad. So as the series progresses, we go on to the shows in the future, maybe. I'm going to be doing a lot of solo things. And if you would love to be a part of the show, give us a shout out. Webmaster@shouldidrinkthat.com, or honestly, just leave something on Facebook. I'll get to it. Google Plus is a great place for you to go. We are very big on using Google Plus. I think it's a great platform for beer geeks to get on. There's a huge beer community. I swear, when Beer Advocate just about pissed off everybody and their grandmother, they went over to Google Plus. There's a huge, huge, huge beer population over there. I talk to these guys on a regular basis. I've made some good friends out of this deal. I talked to Mr. Liquid Bread. All right. Have you seen him? The guy. He's beer metal. And I love the article because he's just like, ah, fuck it, I don't care. Let's drink this beer. But that's part of the whole beer community that's going on with Google Plus right now. And it's really cool, and you should be a part of it. Definitely look us up. Look up the show. And you can look me up. I'm on there also. There's links probably on our site. If not, the site's going to get overhauled too. We're going to have a couple random moments here tonight because it's just you and me. Nobody else is joining us, just the two of us. Or if you're in your car listening to this, yeah, the hand motions I'm doing right now make no sense. So, the next beer for tonight. I was up in Erie last weekend, and when I saw this beer, I knew I had to buy it because of the fact that it was the lowest price I have ever seen for it. We're not big pumpkin beer fans on Should I Drink That. Sick Puppy believes, and I know he goes by Brad now, but he's Sick Puppy, all right? He's Sick Puppy. He's not a fan of the beer. He hates pumpkin beers. Myself, I tolerate them. It's not like something I crave every year. I'm more of a fan of like the pumpkin roll tasting compared to like the uber spicy pumpkin beers. I don't think that pumpkins really give a lot to a beer. It's mostly spices that do it. And I've had this discussion with other brewers, and they're like, oh, we fucking hate making this beer. But it sells, so we got to stay in business, so we're going to sell it. Or we're going to make it. And the season for it, before you used to be able to see this beer coming in around, right around the end of August, I think was the earliest you would ever see this, 2 or 3 years ago. And maybe sometimes early September. That's when I would always say it was a good time to start drinking it because it's like a fall beer. And then for some reason last year, and I blame these guys for it, the beer started coming out in July. You're out on the beach, you're enjoying the barbecues, you're having a good time with your family. And pumpkin beers are hitting the shelves. So you know who I'm about to talk about. Yeah, the Pumpking. People go batshit crazy for Pumpking, and I don't know why. Because it's a beer, and I don't go crazy for any beers. No. Strike that. Southern Tier makes a kick-ass Gemini Unfiltered that I would probably trample over my grandmother for, because it's a really good beer, and it comes out in January. But they stick to a schedule. Anyways. This is the beer. This is the beer everybody is looking for right now. The price in Erie, $6.99 for this. The price in Pittsburgh, if you go to a Market District, which is our grocery store chain, part of Giant Eagle, $7.99. Most six-pack shops, because here in the state of Pennsylvania, we can't just go into a convenience store and buy a beer. We have to go into stores that are designated to sell six-packs or single bottles. Special license, I guess, like hot dogs or some shit like that, like a hoagie. So you go to those shops. I saw it today for $17.99. A beer, a Bomber 22-ounce beer, was $17.99. And that wasn't even the most expensive I've seen it. I've actually seen it close to $20. People, what the fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, I don't know. Or what the hell is wrong with you, I guess. In honor of Puppy's memory, gotta talk about that too. I had to drop the F-bombs for him. So, buddy. All right, let's get to the Southern Tier Pumpkin. Because it is one of the top-rated beers, I have had them in previous years. I had a sample of one this year, so let's try this one out and see what's going on with it. The nice thing with the Southern Tier website is they do show the pairings for it. Of course, they say compliments pumpkin pie, have it with a Thanksgiving dinner, and they say right on the site, availability mid-July release. All Hallows' Eve is a time of the year when the spirits can make contact with the physical world and when magic is most potent.
It is thought that that we harness this magic to brew our powerful pumpkin ale.
Not really so.
But it's with great respect to the magic of their trade that our brewers produce this fine beer. Take a whiff of this complex ale, and your bud's journey has just begun. Woo!
Woo! Yeah, scary, huh?
Take a whiff of this complex ale, and your journey has just begun. At first sip, a magical spell will bewitch your taste buds. Yet another victim enraptured by the pumpkin. Food pairing is particularly tasty when paired with traditional Thanksgiving dinner and complements pumpkin pie desserts.
Yeah. So take that one as you want. A few specs here about the beer. It is an Imperial Pumpkin Ale, and this was first brewed in... Oh, boy, when was this? 2007 was the first year that this was brewed. It's about 2007 or so. The ABV is 8.6%. Bottle opener. It's fermented with ale yeast, two types of malt, two types of hops, and pumpkin. They're not going to tell you what it is, though. Serving temperature, 40 to 48 degrees. Yeah, that's probably about right. Glass is a goblet. The closest I'm going to get is I don't have a Southern Tier 1, unfortunately, so I have a Chimay glass that I'm going to use. A goblet or a chalice, or that's what I have. And if you're going to cellar this, which I did that before, cellaring the beer, you want to keep this around 35 to 40 degrees. You are not getting head on this beer. Travesty, I know. But you're not getting head on this beer. Let's see, this is the aroma that I like. Wow, that is... It smells like pumpkin pie. Pecans. Yeah, it smells like pumpkin pie, like your traditional pumpkin pie, before the whipped cream's on it. Damn, that smells good, though. I like that. I actually tried brewing a pumpkin beer 2 years ago, and it turned out not too bad, but it was a big spice bomb, and I had to scrub the shit out of my buckets. That was not fun. That was a mess. So here we go. Try out the 2014 pumpkin from Southern Tier. I can see the hype. It's good. Tastes like pumpkin. Would I go crazy trying to find this? No. Not going to happen. But I do have a lot of friends that are looking for it. So there's serious beer trades that are involved with it. In fact, I think it was, and I am sorry if I have the wrong distributor, but I believe it was the Buddy's Brews on Carson. That said, they had this for like $90 a case. That is cheap. That is very cheap. I've seen it going as high as $180 a case. Yeah. You could feasibly put some cinnamon or some sugar around the rim of this glass. I've seen that done. I've had it before. Bocktown, I know, does that. And it tastes really good. But honestly, just leave the beer alone. And it's great for novelty if you want to do it that way, but standalone, this beer, it's a good beer. Damn it. I was hoping to say, it's all hype, you shouldn't listen, you should like this stuff. But actually, it is. It's pretty good. I like this. Wow, studio lights are blinding me. It's actually pretty good. Like I said, I wouldn't go crazy over it. And there was one, and I'm going to have to look this one up. There was a beer that a friend of mine, who people in the Pittsburgh market know him as Panster. Look this up quick. There's a beer called Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale from Stevens Point Brewery in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, which I think is probably the best pumpkin beer I've ever had. It kicks you in the ass, and it's good. It's really good. It's not even so much like the pumpkin roll that I usually like. It's like a little sweetness and, yeah, sweetness and the and the spice, and it's a pretty solid beer. So this pumpkin is really good. It's get it. I'm not going to stop you. Get it. But for love of God, and they say it's made with pumpkins. Have you seen a pumpkin in July? Do they freeze them? Probably. But and why do you want to start it that early? I understand people want the beer, but there's tradition that you keep up. And there's a reason for the seasons in brewing, and making a pumpkin beer and having it out in July is way too early. Don't do it. There's lots of other great beers. Don't rush into the fall season. Honestly, I heard Mad Elf was out right now. I kind of got pissed. Not super pissed, but really, it's October. Let me deal with Thanksgiving and Halloween and everything first before Mad Elf is out. Mad Elf, by the way, great beer. Great Christmas beer. One of my favorites. It's a Christmas season beer. It's not like a Christmas ale. It's just, yeah, we'll get into that later. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't even know if we've reviewed that before. We might have. I don't know. We've done like close to 400 beers. I've lost track at this point. 8 years, 400, well, 5,000 beers, that's what we've had. I have no clue, because I don't pay attention to that stuff anymore. So, yeah, that's, it's got a little kick to it. So, I was contacted recently from this, I don't know if he works for the brewery, or if he's part of the production team on this. I'm trying to find where I have everything for this. As a lot of you know, we've had an influx of breweries open in the city of Pittsburgh and just in the general area. And a few of them have been through Kickstarter. Our good friends up at Shoebrew were from Kickstarter, and they're doing great. I don't recall if the Brew Gentleman, which I'm about to talk about, was 100% through Kickstarter. I know they had some campaigns going. I don't know if they ever reached those, and I should find that out. But also, I was just contacted, so we're kind of going to find out about this. So there was a movie that was made that's been documenting their first year of existence, actually before their first year, like building up the brewery and then opening it up and so on. And then they also talk about other breweries too. So they have a Kickstarter campaign to finish the movie. It's called Blood, Sweat, and Beer by Alexis and Chip. And I believe it was Chip that got a hold of me. So I watched the preview that was going on, and it's actually pretty decent. And I'll have a link for this on our website. It's a link to their Kickstarter page. But it's a pretty good clip. It's about 2 minutes long. And it shows what these guys have gone through to get their stories noticed and so you can see firsthand what it's like for these breweries to start up. You don't usually get to see this kind of insight into breweries and how they get up off the ground. I'm fortunate enough to be friends with a lot of guys that have open breweries, so I've heard firsthand just how much of a pain in the ass it is. But it's worth it in the end. So the movie goes into detail about them and another brewery, and it's pretty good. It was put together rather well, and they're getting close to their goal as of right now. And today it is October 17th, 2014. They 15 days to go, and they have 5,900 of the 1,200 raised, so they're almost at 50%. But they need to do the final editing and production costs, stuff like that. Stuff that makes video guys like me cringe, because we're like, where are we going to get the money to finish doing this? And they got to finish shooting. everything too. And so I want you guys to take a look at it. And should I drink that has a history of backing a lot of very successful Kickstarters. And this looks like a cool movie. I'm not saying we have a stamp of approval. I like the movie. And I have to find out a little bit more about it, but I do want you to take a look at it and see what you think and let us know what you think about it. Like I said, I just found out about this. I watched the trailer today before I came on, and I was like, whoa, this is just good beer movie. These guys, I know these guys are starting out. I've had the Brew Gentleman's beer before, and I was like, wow, watching this happen is just very cool. Doesn't matter if you like their beer or not. It's just, it's cool to see it happen, to see it get somebody's dream come true, and it's documented. I think if we had more, I don't want to say more documentaries on this, but I think if a lot of, if more people realize how hard it really was to open a brewery, we wouldn't have as many half-assed breweries open. People get away from nanos, and I'm not saying all nanos, but some nanos are open because, hey, my buddy over there says I can brew a good beer, so let's open a brewery. Well, if you don't have any business sense, you're going to fail. Face it, dudes. You're going to fail. It doesn't mean you can't learn along the way. So this movie documents them and shows like what they're going through as they're building the brewery. Will they succeed? I hope so, because I hate to see breweries close in Pittsburgh. I have not been out there yet. I would love to go out to visit the Brew Gentlemen, especially on Friday nights, because they have Hootie Barbecue, and I am dying for some Hootie Barbecue. Hootie, if you don't know, is the beer guy from the Six Pack in Regent Square, which if you've been to Pittsburgh for any beer fest, any good beer fest, you've probably seen Hootie, and you've probably seen him at D's, and I've heard his barbecue from barbecue fans that I respect have said, it's pretty good. So I'm anxious to get out there. I don't get out to Braddock very often. In fact, I've never been out to Braddock. I'll be honest with you. I've lived here almost 20 years. I've never been to Braddock. I really didn't even know where it was until the Brew Gentleman started. There's like 90-some neighborhoods around here. I don't know all of them. I've heard of them. I'm working on it. I'm not a native Yinzer, so hey, we'll see what happens. But I definitely want to check it out. I did find out they're only about a half-hour drive from me, so. Should make for a good road trip one of these days. Also, as the pumpkin warms up, you really get a lot more of the pumpkin, like the spice coming out of that. Whew. Yeah. That's a pretty good beer. I gotta admit that.
That is a tasty beer.
Ooh. So I am looking for feedback from you guys of what you've thought about should I drink that these last 8 years. I know some people are shy. Some people have come out and said, you guys suck. Quit swearing. I try. I try not to. Puppy, well, I can't speak for Puppy. But I try not to sometimes. But let me know what you guys have liked over these last 8 years. It's been fun, so I'm anxious to find out what you guys have thought. We hear from like the same five or six people on Facebook, which I love you guys. Thank you for commenting on Facebook and on Google Plus. Actually, you guys comment more on my personal Google Plus page, which is cool. I dig it. But yeah, definitely let me know what you guys think. I want to know. I want to know what we did right, what we did wrong. Don't ask me about the website. That thing's been like a running joke with us for years. It's kind of like whatever template we can find, we throw up there and modify it quick. So, anyways, I think it's about time to get ready for the final beer. I am saving the rest of this for after show, post show, whatever the hell you want to call it. Let's see what we got. So the final beer, and we're kind of keeping with the whole Southern Tier theme. And this I also bought up in Erie for $8, and I did not see this at all I gotta cleanse my palate. Hold on. I haven't seen this in Pittsburgh. I know it's been in Pittsburgh, but I have not had it in Pittsburgh because it's always sold out. In general, Southern Tier makes kick-ass beers. I love the Southern Tier. They're definitely one of my top five breweries. I love just about everything they make. Their chocolate, delicious. The creme brulee, I think, is a little sweet, but that's just me. I think if you mix those two, get the right balance, that's going to be a good time. That's going to be like a party. So the last one we have is Tir de Garde. Tir de Garde. I'm going to find some way to incorporate music when I do shit like that, too. So, yes, Tir de Garde. Now wait till you hear about this one.
So this is part of their series, which is all about experimenting with unusual brewing ingredients. Tir de Garde utilizes grapefruit peel at 8.1%.
8.1%.
Tir de Garde is a Belgian-style India pale ale brewed with grapefruit peel.
What?
It is the third in our acclaimed Belgian-style series. Tir de Garde is akin to Belgian Triple crossed with an American IPA.
So this would kind of be like if I took a golden monkey and a hop devil and poured them together. That's what it reads like to me.
Deep copper in color with a thick rocket white head and a persistent lacing. It is mostly hazy with yeast and sediment visible. Yeah, I can expect that. Carefully pour into your favorite glass. That means it's going to blow up. Citrusy, hoppy, and spicy with some sweetness in the aroma, while being dry and effervescent on the tongue. The flavor is bitter and spicy, peppery, and grapefruit zest is apparent. Also expect floral and apricot pear notes. As we've done through the series, our in-house art director, Nate Duval, for his label, we teamed up with him. This is a summer 2014 release, but like I said, I have not seen it around here.
So, this could get interesting. Daddy could be having a good night. So here we go. Tir de Garde. And they recommend your tulip glass, which thankfully, thanks to the people at Southern Tier, actually thanks to the people at U-Pick 6 up in Erie, I got this glass. Oh, yeah, so if you don't know, I don't think we've done too much Southern Tier before. Southern Tier is in New York State. It's up by Lake Chautauqua. My old stomping grounds, kind of. Ooh, wow, that looks awesome. And it started out as a very small brewery. It's like a lot of people didn't realize that they were up there, and then they just exploded onto the scene, mostly because of the pumpkin. And then the chocolate came in and just like kicked ass and take a look at that if you're on the video. That looks like that looks like a golden monkey to me, which most people know that is my favorite Belgian triple in the world. Ooh. Oh, I got film nose too. Oh, wow. If there was a smell of beer sex, because everyone knows the smell of sex. If there was a smell of beer sex, this is it. Wow. So this is what's killing me with it. So I pick up the Belgian yeast. Because when you drink the Belgian triples, you know the nose. Like when it's in your nose, you're like, that's a Belgian triple. You can just, you just tell. And it's got a faint hop to it. And that I like. And I'm afraid to drink this because if I don't like it, I want to smell this thing for the rest of the night. So, for the final beer of the evening, let's give this a shot. Sweet Jesus. Oh my God. That's good. If I had a sensor machine, I would start cussing like a sailor right now. That is a beautiful whitehead. Oh, didn't focus. As you can see, my nails. So there's a beautiful whitehead on that thing. Look at that. That is gorgeous. And I'm not saying this is the best beer I ever had. No. But let me tell you, this beer makes me happy. It makes me very happy. Personally, now I know some people won't like this style, and that's fine. That's the beauty of craft beer, is you don't have to love everything. You shouldn't be hating everything. Some people do. I don't get that, but whatever. They're assholes. Or beer holes, or whatever we call them now. That is a damn fine beer. Citrusy. It's hoppy. A little spicy. From the... Yeah. That is... That's a good beer. And while I sit back and drink this, and this is what I've been delaying getting to. Wow. I never thought I would have to... I wasn't expecting this moment to get here as soon as it has. But as you have known, we haven't had that many shows lately. And there's been good reason for that. A lot of you have known that I was laid off for a very long time. And Brad has, well, he's been kicking ass at his job. Kicking a lot of ass. And him and I met a couple weeks ago and decided that he is no longer a part of Should I Drink That? Because of work schedule. Let me rephrase that. He's no longer a part of us as a full-time co-host or whatever. He is, he's going to stay on as a, what do you say, for consulting purposes. He's going to stay on as an advisor, is the way to put it. And I had a feeling this summer that this was going to happen. But, and this isn't because he's tired and he's done. He's just, his job is really taking off. He's having a very successful career, and there's not a lot of time for the show. In fact, if you've been following us on Facebook and Twitter, you would have noticed that he has sold all of his homebrewing equipment too. And I wish nothing but the best for him. And when we started the show, we said that we had said that the show will not go on if it's just one of us. So we talked about it, and we were ready to pull the plug. We're like, you know what, it's done. I was struggling as a stay-at-home dad, and then something happened. I got a job. I was laid off for 9 months, and I like the week that we were talking about this, I got a job offer. So I'm working again. So we talked about it some more. And I told him, like, I don't know if I can let go of the show. So this is what's happening. Should I Drink That As You Knew It is gone. It's dead. I shouldn't say it's dead. It's mostly dead. It could come back. There's a very good chance it could come back. But I told Brad that I wanted to try something. So we're going to see if it works. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then, well, it's been fun. But there's some things I want to try. So part of the lighting that's in here right now and all this is, and since I have a paycheck now, I'm starting to upgrade a few things. Some of you have known that in the past I have I've done audio and video on the side. I've done some voice work. I've done a few things here and there. I like to edit audio and all that. Well, I told him that I'm going to try this solo. It's not always going to be just me. We're gonna see what works. But I have this vision for a show. I've always had this in my head. And I told him about it, and he's like, dude, fucking do it. This is the time. Do it. So over the next few weeks, I am coming out with a business plan, getting like everything together, stuff like that. And so thank you for being very patient with us and sitting through us and waiting, because things have been very crazy for us personally and professionally. And like I said, he's kicking ass, and he is off into craft beer retirement with the great Jeffrey T from the Good Beer Show and a few others that are out there. So we're going to see what happens with it. If anybody would like to join me for a couple shows or whatever, we'll see what happens. Here's my plan. It's taken a while for us to get to this point, so we'll get another drink. You're probably not going to see any more three beer shows. Unless I have a co-host. We're going to condense it down more to like a 10-minute, 15-minute show. One beer, talk about topics. I would like to do it weekly. Realistically, that's not going to happen out the gate. Probably bi-weekly, maybe once a month we'll get it going. Let me know what you guys think. Here is your chance, and this is where it's going to kick ass. You tell me what you want. Tell me what you want to see. Tell me what you want to hear, and I'll do my best to do it. If you want more interviews with breweries, I'll do it. If you need me to travel somewhere, I'll probably do it. Yeah, that's it. We're putting the show in your hands. You give us the ideas. You give me the ideas. You give both of us the ideas, actually. So all of his accounts are still alive and everything. If you talk to @SIDT, you're 99%. You're gonna be talking to me. If you're talking to our Facebook page or anything, probably me. Yeah, so I actually ran this idea past the guys at the Brooklyn event. That's when I first thought of it, and I ran past them. They're like, that would be pretty cool. So it's taken a while. The main thing was income and the fact that we've never asked for money for our site, and we're not going to ask you guys for money. That will never happen. 20 with the idea of sponsorships for ads. We'll see what happens. If there's a business that would like to find out more, please shoot us a message, either from our page, webmaster@shouldidrinkthat.com. We'll see what we can work out, because we've been around for 8 years. The show's been around for 8 years, I should say. And we've had over 2.5 million downloads, which still blows my mind. And the numbers are great. So let's see if we can do something for you. We've got a strong Facebook presence, but it's our main core is social. Like, you guys are kicking ass with getting a hold of us. So let us know what you want to see. If you want to have a beer with me, I'll come out there and we'll talk. We'll bullshit. Let's record something. You got a handheld recorder? Oh, I'll find one. I actually think Brad took that with him. But let me know what you guys want to see from us, and we'll make it happen. So there you go. That's what's going on. Yeah, it's been a very emotional time because I had no idea how attached I was to the show, and I hate to see it go stagnant. So I said either we drag it out or we kill it. And we were about to kill it until I got the phone call and I got a job. because I didn't have any more money to pump into it, and really Leshy was going to kick my ass if I kept doing it without getting a job. I was a week away from going to apply at Sheets. So, yeah. Freelance work was good, but it wasn't covering all the bills. So there you go. There's my sappy moment. Hopefully you stayed here through the whole thing. If you are a brewer or you're somebody who wants to be interviewed for the show, let me know. I'm going to drink some beers tonight, have a good time, and try to plan out the future. Should I drink that? This should be interesting. Hopefully I have everything up and running by PodCamp, because ball's in my court now, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do here. One thing that will not change is the way that we do the way that I do beer reviews. I will give you that. I will be honest. If you're a brewery and you send me your beers, I don't like them, I will tell you I don't like them. I will tell you why I don't like them. The one thing that has been strong with Should I Drink That is our honesty. We've never fluffed our reviews because we've gotten free beer or because somebody's been in a room. If we don't like your beer, we've told you. I will continue that tradition. Sick Puppy is an incredible guy. He helped build this, I don't want to say this empire, but he helped build this whole thing. And if it wasn't for him, I would not be the craft beer person I am today. And I thank him for that. He taught me how to homebrew. He taught me about craft beer. And we kind of taught each other about podcasting. But I owe him everything. So, buddy, if you're listening to the show, which you probably are because you're probably flying like to China or some shit by now, I don't know. Thank you for everything. And I am going to do my best to make this the best craft beer podcast that I can. For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most reverend father spoon, where even if it's crap, I drink it. And you drink it. Sometimes, if you want to. I drink it so you don't have to. Have a good evening. Bitches!